Cicadas appear once every 7 years, and Gay Talk's very own cicada has risen to grace us with her voice once again.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m.-ish Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I'm your host, and as always, I'm in the studio with my amazing friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And returning back from the seven-year hiatus...
It's Elsie.
Welcome back.
I'm so happy to be back.
I know. It's always great. We haven't seen you in forever.
I know. I moved like away from everywhere. And it's like now it just takes forever to get anywhere.
Right.
Figure out how to get me on there remotely.
But you're here.
I am. And but I'm you're super here. Happy to be here.
And basically she's queer. So you know how that is. Let me just bring that mic up just a little bit more. There
yes,
you go.
I have an issue. You know, with angling things in or around phallic, my mouth. Right. Yes, yes.
Phallic things in your mouth. Yes. Oh, so, but anyway, this is The Dish. Welcome you all. We are here. We're queer. Well, at least, you know, most of us are.
Two thirds.
And Jay is away. As you guys knew, we mentioned he was going away to Arizona, was it? Mm-hmm. And we actually got Elsie, like, convinced her to, like, take the drive down and come sit in studio with us.
I'm so glad I did.
I'm glad you did, too.
I think I guilted you into it.
Pretty much.
Yes. The way you asked definitely gave me a little nudge.
Right. So that you understand. So, Elsie, myself, Jay, Chris, all of us, we're in a group chat. And we're consistently, like, constantly sending each other messages, right, in the group chat. And so you can walk away from your phone and come back and have 230 messages.
Right.
Uh-huh. Easy. And so, you know, when... So Elsie has been, how would I say, up to speed on everything that's been happening on the show because we're constantly talking about it on this chat. So, yeah, she knows what's going on.
I'm not skipping a beat.
Not at all. Not at all. So, but I'm glad that you're here. It's good to see your face.
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you guys.
So we've got a lot of cool things that we're going to be talking about. One of the stories that we have lined up today is a little, you know, controversial, but nonetheless, we're going to discuss it. Do we want to just jump right into it or do you want to talk about weekends before we do that?
I mean, why not?
I mean, okay. So why don't you tell us what you're up to, Mr. Nick?
Oh, Pelotoning.
Pelotoning. Nicole Peloton.
You did. Succumbed.
Uh-huh. I did. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And tell us about it.
Well, everybody knows, but I love it. It's great. But no, this weekend was Pride New Haven. Well, this week was Pride New Haven. And on Friday, I had to work at the bar. It was so crazy. I didn't get home until 4:30.
In the morning.
I mean, I have not seen that bar like that. It was from bar to wall with people. You just couldn't catch up. Like one girl came up to me. I felt like such a dick. And she was like, can I have a water, but can I have it in an actual glass? I was like, no, you can have it in a plastic cup.
Like, who are you? Why would you ask?
I'm sweating. I am serving all these people. And you want me to wash a glass so that you can have water in it? No, you get in plastic. Sorry.
Nasty.
What was her reaction?
She was just like, okay.
Fine, whatever. Like you in the message and where he really didn't give you much of a choice, that's sort of kind of how we approach that situation.
I see it now. Yeah. She didn't have a choice. Right. I see it.
Yeah, what you get is plastic. That's it. No, I didn't go out this weekend at all, but we did end up like getting together Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we threw the most delicious piece of meat on the grill. It was a fabulous, big, long piece of filet mignon that we threw on that grill. And we just gorged. Mm. We did.
And Tom got all mad at me because his niece was here and I wanted to give her a piece of the filet.
I was absolutely not. I was like, you're going to give my doggy niece a piece of meat that probably costs $50 at a restaurant? No. That, put it in my mouth.
Tommy. Yeah,
no. So, of course, I gave it to her.
Oh, good for you. Good for her. Yeah.
Well, I have a thing about, you know, feeding dogs table food. Right.
Yeah.
She's not my dog, so you can do whatever you want. With my dogs, I don't feed them table food because one of the worst things that you can do is have a dog stare at you while you're trying to eat your food.
Right.
Not happening. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's basically why I said it. Plus, it's also like a $50 piece of meat.
let's not lose perspective, right?
Right. It's really about the fact
right.
Yeah. It's really about the meat. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't blame you. A good piece of meat.
It's a good piece of meat.
Yeah.
Put it in your mouth. Uh-huh. That's it.
Elsie's good at saying no.
Oh,
oh, she is.
I'm trying to be better at that. You know, and not saying no.
To put it in your mouth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying not to be saying no to.
Well, that's important.
I think so.
That's a good goal to have.
Yes, I'm at an age where that's important. Like, there should be more things.
Yeah. Honey, you're at an age like you need to get with the program at this
point. I'm at my peak.
No, you're not at your peak. You're at an age in where you need to get with the program.
I know. I'm trying.
Honey, like, you should have been putting that meat in your mouth at 21.
I know. I missed a lot of, you know, opportunities in my 20s when you're dumb and you're young and you can just say, well, I was young and dumb.
Yeah.
I don't have that anymore. And then you get standards. Ugh, oh, don't Lord. Get them. It's yeah. a trap.
So I think I've always had them. Don't get them.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. I can't. And how is your instructor doing, by the way?
Cody?
How's Cody?
Oh, he's still looking good. He's doing good.
Yeah. He consistently goes back to Cody because, you know, Cody's super gay and amazing and flamboyant, and Nick is all about it. And so he just, you know, just goes on a ride with Corey, Cody every day.
Cody.
Yeah. Oh.
Cody Rigsby.
Have you used any other trainers?
I've used a couple different ones.
Yeah, and you always go back to Cody?
When I'm doing like an actual workout,
right.
I go to Cody. When I do like a cool down or a warm up, I'll choose somebody else trying to find new instructors.
Right. So is Cody the only one that's gay?
No.
And so there are other gay like instructors.
I almost feel like you're trying to call out a bias here.
No. I'm just trying to figure out. So, so if there are other gay instructors, have you tried the other gay instructors?
I tried one.
Okay.
I liked him.
And why do you keep going back to Cody? What is it about Cody that just like gets you there?
I don't know. It's like we're about the same age.
Okay.
So like when, you know, you do a ride and it's all 2000 music from the 2000s, you know,
right.
And then he starts talking about his experience with the music and his mom or, you know, whatever it is. I just kind of relate to it. It's, I mean, we're talking about like the Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls, and then, you know, we go into the 80s with Whitney and Mariah and all that. It's like all stuff that I resonate with. Plus, like riding your bike to anything NSYNC, Mariah or Whitney, come on.
That's right. A very legitimate point.
Yeah, it's uplifting.
So which song from Mariah, I'm curious, because she's got a lot of Debbie Downers.
Oh God, I don't know.
Like they wouldn't be appropriate for workouts.
I can't think off the top of my head. This
is very true. Well,
I don't want to cry. Yes,
but
I
it's
do,
a good. It's good
paddling.
For a cool down. It's
don't
good for a cool down.
Don't want to cry.
And a cry?
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know what? You're not wrong.
I took a 5-minute class. It was a cool down class with this one woman, and she did it to can anybody hear me? Somebody gotta love. What's it's a Queen song, I think.
Somebody to love.
That song, yes. What's the name of it?
Oh God, I don't remember.
I think it's Somebody to Love.
Somebody to Love.
So I got into this class and I did not think it was going to be about relationships and breakups. And I'm sitting there by the end of the class, like bawling. I'm like, this bitch, she just put me through it.
Like, not only did she get you physically going, but she also got you like emotionally
exhausted.
Yes.
Exhausted.
I was like, yes, I know I need somebody to love. Okay, stop. That's like, why I'm on a fucking like Peloton.
And going back to this Mariah Carey thing, like, I feel like the perfect song to be riding on a Peloton to when it comes to Mariah Carey is There's Got to Be a Way.
Oh. Right?
There's got to be a way. That I don't need to Peloton today.
I was thinking more exhausting. Like, you know, oh, when you walk by every night.
That's cute.
Like I can
dream
see myself
of a combustion.
Keeping the beat to that.
Yeah.
Inside.
We're going to turn that resistance up. We're going to take that cadence down to about a 30 or a 40.
Okay.
I guess you really are into your Peloton.
Oh my gosh.
Good for you. Every morning I get up around 6 o'clock without an alarm because I'm lame. And I say to myself, I'm going to work out today. And the other day I actually put on my workout clothes and I inserted the DVD. Yes, I have a DVD, Tommy.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm going to get you an Apple TV.
And I hit play and then proceeded to sit on my couch
and watch it.
Her or him or they.
It's like the T25, which is like the light version of PX90. And then I realized maybe 5 minutes in, well, this is not happening. And do I get up and turn it off and go about my day? No, I watched the whole 25 minutes.
Hey, it's a step. It's a step.
And when this is where my life is.
When I was an intern at Actors Theater of Louisville, I did this show. It was called Ella. And there was a big preset and a shift in the intermission. But during the show, there wasn't much for me to do, like at all. So I got a DVD and I put it in my old Mac because they used to have CD slots.
CD-ROMs,
and
right.
I took a Pilates class every single day backstage. And then people, like my boss came in one day to check in on me and saw me doing Pilates. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Pilates. And then like by the end of the run of the show, there were four people that came every day and we did Pilates together.
That's awesome. But it also makes me feel worse about my story. I don't know what your point was.
It's a step.
I work out even between breaks at work, Elsie. I get it.
Okay,
the point is you sat through the whole 25 minute video.
I committed to that shit.
Mm-hmm. At least she wasn't that crazy, you know, Latina that like puts the video in and thinks it's music and then starts cleaning.
Well, there I do have that going for myself. That happens Sunday.
Because, you know, you have to have music.
After I drank, like, the whole year's worth of alcohol between Saturday and Friday, and then Sunday, I made it out of bed, like, super late, and that did happen. So I do have going for myself the whole Latina merengue bachata salsa.
Uh-huh.
While I clean
you
things.
Dance with the mop a little bit.
Right.
You straddle it in between your legs and then swing it around and then just keep swiping.
That did happen on Sunday. Yeah. So maybe I'm not a total loss.
No.
It's a thing.
Thank you. Oh, you see why I heard you guys?
Latinas and Latinos cleaning is a workout.
It is. Yeah. So is cooking for that matter, which I also did. I meal prep. So you know what? I feel a little better. Thank you, Tommy.
You're welcome, baby.
You are very productive.
You're welcome.
I was.
I try.
You succeeded. Thank you.
Well, Lord. My weekend was uneventful, except for the fact that I have a huge, severe leak in my home. My sink upstairs is the pipe is broken somewhere. And so water just comes down the wall in the basement. And I had to like figure out a way to catch that water so that it doesn't make it to the floor. And I didn't realize that it was broken or leaking because the cabinet that holds the sink in downstairs is that particle wood board and it was absorbing the water. So I never saw the water actually come to the floor.
Right.
Until I tried opening the door the other day to go get some bleach and the doors just fell off. And there was mold everywhere. And I was like, oh my God. So I ripped it out. Thankfully, it coincided with our bulk trash pickup. So I was able to throw everything right on the curb and they took it away this morning. But the problem that I'm having is that the pipe that's broken is in the wall.
I was going to ask, is it in the wall? Don't say yes.
Behind my cabinets, which means that in order for me to fix it, I'm going to need to destroy my cabinets in my kitchen.
Which then I said that this is a blessing in disguise because we can get the dream kitchen we've always wanted.
We? When did we become French?
First of all, I have an investment in this property.
Right.
Yes, some of us do, because I'm all about this patio.
Do you love it?
I love it so much.
I know.
It's just, I have like landlord envy because I want my patio to look like
I don't have tenant envy.
I know you shouldn't.
Ugh, yeah, no. Except for when I'm here.
It's a whole thing. Yeah.
So initially when I started looking for a house, I thought about getting a 2 or 3 family house and then, you know, renting out. And I'm like, I don't have the strength to be a landlord.
So I will tell you this, and I know that I'm lucky. I have 2 tenants that were already there when I bought the property, and they are a dream. One of them, I kind of had to like check him a couple of times mm-hmm. because he didn't realize that I own the property, and he would like interfere with my decisions. And I was like, he has like a sign that says no parking in this preferred spot for him. And I'm like, you, that is the best parking. You get that. I get that. Right. Like I can.
I own it.
So it was kind of a challenge. And I think also that he thought that I'm a lot younger than I actually am. And he thought that he could like, and you know how I'm super polite.
Right.
And I sound like this.
No. I don't know.
So he, I guess, misconstrued that for me being a pushover. And like I had to check his ass several times, but it's better now. And then the other kid is a dream. Like he's always offering to help around. You know, I had to set boundaries because I don't want that line to be blurred. This is a business transaction, but he's really, really sweet. And then his brother joined us late last year, and he's a bit of a deadbeat. Who actually falls behind in rent. He's the one that actually messed up my ceiling because he clogged the toilet and thought that if you just keep flushing it, it'll work. So
it overflows
all over my new cabinets that I had just bought, and they were sitting there in boxes. So at 3 a.m, I hear it raining in my kitchen, and I have to get up and remove all the packaging so that it doesn't damage my wood. And I call and I'm like, so he's like kind of raining in my kitchen. And he goes to tell me that, oh, there must be a piping problem because, you know, I the toilet wouldn't flush and I just kept flushing it and it wouldn't go down.
I would kill him.
So he's been a little bit of a challenge. But other than that, it's been a dream, and I have not made a mortgage payment in a year next month. So it's been worth it.
I mean, you made the mortgage payments, obviously.
Not out of pocket.
Right.
So you know what that did for my traveling budget.
Oh, well, hello.
Hello.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. So, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I don't regret it at all. And then my needs are different than, you know, the rest of the world. I guess I don't have kids. I don't have a partner. Financial stability is kind of important as a single woman, as a woman, as a brown woman with an accent. It's a whole thing. And so I always thought that I always knew that I was going to get into real estate. I started a little late, and I'm actually glad that I decided to go for the investment property first, because now I have the equity to cover a down payment on a, you know, my dream home if I wanted to go that route for my next one, which I'm not. I'm going to get another investment property. And the rent for the unit that I occupy will fully cover the mortgage on a new house.
So
you know, I don't regret it.
Right. Well, that's good. Well, I'm going through this mess right now, and I'll figure it out. You know,
also, everything is a write-off.
Right.
So... equipment, repairs, maintenance, my internet, my cell phone,
right,
my light, my gas. Everything is a write-off because technically I run a business, right, out of my house if my tenants call my cell phone. So taxes were like really good this year.
Well, that's great.
Like, I never ever have like looked in the mail or checked for a tax refund update because I've never gotten a refund, I don't think. And this year was like, what? I think you missed. There's too many zeros in that. And my accountant is like, no, yeah.
I was like, hey, I'll take it.
This is happening. I was like, oh my God. Like every day I was on the app checking on.
Like, where's my money? Like,
oh, so this is what people go through every year around taxes. Because I file my taxes like in freaking September for the year before because I'm never in a rush. I'm like, I'm not going to get any money back. So what do I care? But yeah, it was, it made me whole for all my expenses last year.
That's great.
So that was awesome. You know, no regrets.
That's good. Well, you know, as homeowners, you being a landlord, me being a homeowner, it's not easy when things happen and you have to sort of kind of shift things around and try to figure out how to keep your house from like falling apart.
Yes.
But we'll make it. And, you know, it's It is what it is. It is what it is. All right. So let's jump into some stories because we do have some things that we need to talk about. So first and foremost, I wanted to start off with an article that I read in The Advocate. And basically what's happening is the state of California is going through this process right now in where they're trying to figure out a way in which they can, in essence, criminalize people who are taking off their condoms during sex without letting their partners know they're doing that, in a sense, putting them at risk when doing that. Because if, let's say, for example, you had an STI, right? It doesn't necessarily mean a specific STI, but any STI, and you remove your condom, you're potentially putting or exposing someone to a significant unhealthy thing for them.
You're exposing them at a higher risk.
Right. And so, interestingly enough, we were having this conversation, like talking about this before we started the show, and Elsie had made a comment. Why isn't this like a thing in all 50 states?
How is this not a thing? It's so abusive. I'm sure
you could probably, if that were to actually happen and you were to contract something, I'm sure you could, press charges.
But only if you can prove that the person knew that they were infected at the time of contact.
Right. So, and that is a big, big stipulation in being able to actually go against or, you know,
it is criminalized. If you knowingly transmit an infection to a partner, you can take them to court. And there are actual laws in place that will criminalize that. Right. And it'll penalize them. But you have to then be able to prove that the person knew that they were infected before contact.
And that's where the thing comes in.
That's just, to me, it's like, what kind of person walks around just randomly removing their condom mid-coitus? No. That's what I call it.
Yeah, it's a thing, evidently. So that California may soon become the first state to actually make it illegal for someone to do that, to remove their condom during sex without the other person's knowledge or permission. Legislators on Tuesday approved the bill, adding to the act to the state's definition of sexual battery under civil law and as reported by the Associated Press. It doesn't make it a crime involving jail time, but it instead allows for lawsuits over non-consensual condom removal. It now awaits Governor Gavin Newsom's signature for it to actually pass into law. And speaking of Governor Newsom, he survived his recall election, so he's still governor. And I don't see why he wouldn't put his signature on this. I think this makes sense.
It makes sense. It's just so abusive. Why? How is that any different than any other kind of sexual abuse? If you really think about it, you're going into a sexual exchange with someone. Obviously, there's some kind of trust that has been established where you're both comfortable engaging. And this is so appalling to me.
Yeah. I mean, like, personally, I like to have sex without condoms, but I only do that if I feel comfortable enough with the person and I trust the person, right?
But that's exactly the point, right?
That you have with your partner, right? You guys make a conscious decision, okay?
Calculated risks, right?
You're healthy, or so we say, or maybe you guys go and get tested together and you have, you know, you go through that experience.
Which, kids, is what you should be doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, on top of the fact that you're getting tested and going through the motions of making sure that you're keeping each other safe, you should also, for example, go on PrEP. Right. PrEP is 99.9% effective in preventing transmission of HIV, at least.
That doesn't give somebody the right to do it.
No, it does not. But I'm saying is, as being able to have the conversation, right? Be open with your partner and say, hey, I'm interested in having unprotected sex. What are your thoughts about it? How can we do this safely?
I mean, the level. So first of all, I would have a severe problem not freaking out after it happens, because someone that someone that would even do something like that, I obviously can't trust you. How often do you do this? Who have you done it with? Mm-hmm. And how safe have those people been? And now you're putting me at risk, but you're also causing all of this anxiety and trust issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, because
that extend past this experience.
Correct.
Yep.
I will put my name on that.
And, you know, it's interesting enough, Christina Garcia is one of the assemblywomen in the state of California that's championing the cause. And she says, quote, "It is disgusting that there are online communities that defend and encourage stealthing and give advice on how to get away with it, how to get away with removing a condom without the consent of their partner. But there is nothing in the law that makes it clear that this is a crime," she said in a statement. And so she's pushing for it. Clearly, I think it's going to pass, but it is really something that should be transparent. It should be something that is the go-to in all 50 states.
Absolutely.
You know, because one can easily have the conversation of consensual sex and putting yourself at risk when you as an individual make the decision to allow someone to engage with you sexually without protection.
Right.
But there are many things that you can do to limit your exposure, right?
Right.
And having Dr. G on the show, we've talked about many different ways that, you know, you can mitigate and prevent or even minimize your risk of contracting an STI. Again, PrEP is one of those, or ensuring that you're not over-douching because
or using the right type of douche.
Right.
Right. Because it helps prevent the elimination of important bacteria that lives in your gut that is necessary for protection.
And you prevent tears and, you know, making the skin too sensitive that it'll be, you know, that friction will break through it.
Yep.
Right. And also, you know, there are, you know, preemptive things that you can do if you know that you are going to be putting yourself at the risk of, for example, contracting syphilis or any other type of STI that can be treated with antibiotics. You can have that conversation honestly with your doctor, at least if it's Dr. G, and he can preemptively put you on antibiotics before you go out and start engaging people.
If you want to have unprotected sex.
Right. So, I mean, these are the conversations that you need to have, but you need to make sure that the doctor that you're doing it with is open-minded and understands what it's like to be a gay man, for example, in the gay community.
All of these words, why would you kids even want to engage? You're like, you know what, give me some penicillin because I'm going to go have some, like, dirty penis.
No judgment. It happens.
I'm not judging. I am just super judging.
So no, but let's seriously talk.
It's important to take care of your health.
It is, but that's why you're preemptively.
I worry about my kids.
You know, things happen. For example, there's things like sexual parties that happen all the time. You know, you go into these like big parties, and before you know it, you're in the middle of an orgy.
I know all about those.
Yeah, of course.
I host them. Oh, I'm cool like that.
Yes. So, you know, it's you just don't know. And so if you know that that's how you want to play, you make that decision. But you have some sort of control of how you can mitigate the risk.
No, that makes sense.
And so.
But kids, please take care of yourselves.
It's important. Yes. I mean, you know, definitely protect yourself. But, you know, if you are not going to have protected sex, just make sure that you do your due diligence and. You know,
explore other venues of protecting yourself.
Right. Let me tell you why I love that Dr. G does that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the whole, you know, you go to Catholic school and they won't talk to you about sex because, you know, abstinence, as if that really prevents it. No, you're sending a bunch of dumb, horny teenagers out in the world that are
don't
still
have
going
sex.
To
Here,
do
take
that.
A condom.
Right.
And so the fact that he understands. As you know, he's a doctor and he's part of the community. So he understands that these things do happen. And for him to say, you know what, as a medical professional, I want to provide you with the tools that if I'm not going to change your mind about potentially engaging in reckless behavior that can put you or others and others at risk, I'm going to at least provide ways to mitigate those risks because not talking about it, not addressing it is obviously not going to.
Well, but and that's the biggest
problem. I love that.
That's the biggest problem. I think that, you know, and we talked about this with Dr. G. Dr. G actually wants to start a foundation that would help support education for LGBTQ plus youth because there is no, if you go to school, even with sex ed or if you're at a Catholic school or whatever it is, there is no information about gay sex or sex in the LGBTQ plus community and what that means. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, I thought, okay, you know, I'm gay. And I was so afraid of having sex because all I knew about homosexuality was AIDS.
Right.
And so like there's no actual education out there for you know, kids that are coming of age. And let's be honest, I had sex when I was 15 for the first time. A lot of kids are engaging sexually at a younger age now.
Right. Absolutely.
And embracing who they are at a younger age. If we don't educate them, we're going to create another big issue within the community.
That's a great initiative.
And more now, kids who are growing up today who really didn't understand the impact of HIV and AIDS prior to medications that were suppressing the virus, or even, for example, PrEP that is preventing people from actually getting the virus, or the notion or the concept of being, help me out here. The concept of being
promiscuous?
No.
Stop using that word.
Give me a moment. It'll come to me.
Promiscuous, Jamie.
Undetectable, right?
Right.
The concept of being undetectable and not being able to transmit the virus if you're undetectable. All of these things happened at a time before this particular generation is growing up. And they're more keen and more prone to actually engage in unprotected sex because of the advancements in medication that we have today. You have teens that are actually saying, okay, you know, I'm going to go on PrEP because I prefer to have unprotected sex.
Right.
And so when you see doctors like Dr. G and other medical professionals approach it with an open mind and find ways to mitigate and risk and or minimize the risk, it's a win-win for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I really hope that he goes forward with that initiative, because sex education as it is lame.
Yeah.
Kids are not really equipped with, you know, the necessary information and their, you know, the whole approach of scaring a child into not being sexually active obviously has failed from the beginning of time. And I can see how that would probably be more, or not probably, but it's definitely more prevalent within the LGBTQ community.
It really is.
Where kids are, they don't have a safe forum where they can ask questions and get advice on, you know, how to safely engage in sexual relationships.
And I also think it's important too that we find a way to educate parents as well, because in my experience, growing up, you didn't talk about that stuff with your parents. They showed you, you know, the Miracle of Life movie, or they had a 5-minute conversation with you, or they didn't at all. You know what I mean? You did not have these conversations that could technically be awkward. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They could be very awkward. So how, as a parent, do you engage with your child and have an educated, healthy conversation that's not, you know, where both parties feel weird about it? I mean, I feel like we should grow up in a society where we can openly talk about sex, or where we can openly talk about, you know, what we're thinking about, or what we're planning to do, or what we've been through, so that these kids, or, you know, myself growing up, I had a better concept of how to stay safe and also enjoy myself.
Right.
And it's difficult. See, I have a 16-year-old niece now. My nephews are both a lot older, but my niece is now 16 and she started dating. And I get, you know, she's not my child, but it's the closest thing I have to kids, right? I'm my nephews and my niece. And she's now dating, and I see her, you know, like being all touchy-touchy with that sweaty boy. And it makes me want to just smack them both around, because obviously I blame her, equality, right? And I can see how it's difficult to have those conversations, because you look at your child and you're like, oh, my sweet baby. And I don't want to imagine my child and grows, you know, I don't want to know that he likes his finger up his butt, or, you know, whatever it is the kids do.
Right.
I get that. But it doesn't help. And I can tell you, you all know I got kind of a late start in life in the adult dealings. And my parents were, my mom was very open with me about sex. You know, there was no birds and the bees at my house. You know, my dad was a medical student, and I stumbled upon one of his medical books where there were like actual color pictures of a birth. And I was like maybe 4 or 5. So I come to them with the book and I'm like, so you want to tell me again where babies come from?
Because this don't make sense.
Let's try that again. And I think once they had to have that conversation with me, everything was like, well, she was 5. If she asked me a question at 13, like,
yeah,
this conversation is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And it actually provided me with enough tools to decide, first of all, am I comfortable with this situation because I understand what it means, right? And I got it from my parents, not from the dumb kid at school that...
just trying to peer pressure you into...
Exactly, and isn't safe and doesn't understand, no, kissing doesn't cause pregnancy, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I think that that did kind of contribute to how delayed I was. But it was because I didn't take it lightly. And it was also not mystified for me. Like, I never had this idea of, oh, my God, my first sexual touch and there has to be flowers and balloons. No, I was 28 and he didn't disgust me because he was super hygienic. And I was hanging out with him and I was like, get a condom. Let's get together. Mm-hmm.
Look, honey, mine happened on a futon, so you're winning.
There was a bag. So that's the other thing, you know, it didn't happen in the back of the car somewhere because I was mature enough to have made a conscious decision, which he got super offended about, by the way. He's like, I cannot believe. Like, oh, by the way, he turned me down the first time. And then, like, harass me throughout the whole day. You come back right now. And I'm like, no. I'll come back when I come back. He said, well, you know, you waited so long, and I just don't want you to regret it. I'm like, I'm 28, bro.
At this point, anything I do is not a regret.
I am 28. It's a wanting. I chose you, and I came to your house, and I was like, you know, get a condom. Let's get this out of the way. Like, what do you think was going to happen at 28? You were going to what? Like, we were going to talk about my flower.
That's not a flower. So,
come on. So I do think it's helpful. I do think that when parents are, you know, able to have the uncomfortable conversation with the kids, call things by their name, it's super important. Take away the whole mystical enigma and mystical and... you know what I mean? And make it more of what it is. Yeah. It's a transaction. It should be consensual. You should be comfortable. You know what I mean? You should know what you're into. You should know what your risks are so that you can mitigate them and talk them out with your partner. I think that that has the reverse effect of what most parents think. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily encourage kids to go have sex. They're going to do it anyway. And now they can do it consciously, right? Mm-hmm. Where they can come home and say, like, my dumb nephew just whips out his penis in my face. And he's like, look at this rash. You think I'm sick? Should I get out of my eyes? Because this was this one time last weekend where I got super. And that's the kind of relationship that all the kids at my house have. And then that lends itself to having the conversation as at about, well, are you being safe? What behavior are you engaging in that's putting you at risk? Let's talk about that and talk about ways to correct that and prevent it.
And not necessarily correct, because let's get one
mitigate
thing.
Mitigate the risk is what I meant, right?
I think...
hi, Mama Kim.
It's important to understand that having unprotected sex as a choice is not a bad thing. There are people who actually prefer to have unprotected sex.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to do it, you need to make sure you're doing it with someone who's like-minded, who shares the same things that you do, and also know what your options are should something happen that you weren't expecting, that you could potentially then impact and pass to others.
Right. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? With any sexual exchange, you should be responsible. You should take care of yourself, but you should also take care of others with whom you engage, right? In sexual activity. And that's important. Let's have this conversation. Tell me what's going on with you medically, right? Health-wise. And let me then decide whether I'm comfortable with that. And it's perfectly okay for you to assume the risk, right? You know what? I am comfortable with that. But then you also have the responsibility that to acknowledge the fact that the risk that you're comfortable taking might not necessarily be your next partner's comfort level when it comes to risk. And you should also be able to have and be willing to have that conversation with the next partner, right?
Of course.
We're not sex shaming unprotected sex at all, but the conversations need to happen,
and no one wants to get that phone call. We've all gotten that phone call.
Yep.
That phone call of,
I need to talk to you.
Have you been sick?
I just came back positive for you, motherfucker. Is your first response.
Right.
Right.
So. And then you're like, is it curable?
Whatever it is, can I take a shot for it?
So in most instances, an STI is treatable, to the exception at this point, currently. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're seeing a lot of advancements in HIV treatment. But currently HIV is one of those STIs that is not
But so are treatable. Warts and herpes. Mm-hmm.
So, and yes, herpes is one of those that can be treated, still something that you suffer with lifelong. So to wrap things up, in the state of California, if this law passes, I say yay. I think it's important to make sure that we are not putting people at risk without their knowledge or their consent. And so if this passes in California, I say this all the time, California usually is the catalyst.
They are winners there.
All the time. Not anytime, like when you think about EPA standards, when you think about laws that have been passed in California and slowly trickle into the rest of the US, they're usually at the forefront of these types of initiatives. Yeah. So.
Really? You have something to say about California? They are the fifth biggest economy in the world.
Seriously. No, I'm not going to say anything negative. I'm just remembering, you know, when...
And pot.
You know, when...
Right.
I mean, yes.
There's, I mean, like, everywhere you go, you have the... Well, you know, there are certain individuals that create issues.
This is very true.
Well, true. True. So wrapping up that conversation, I hope it passes. Great. And congratulations to California if it does, because I think it's a good thing. It's a good, sensible law.
It's amazing. I also have some questions. Like, I want to know who gave whom what that has a political position in the state. It was like, this I am going to make this a fucking law.
Well,
because you know that's what happened,
right? 100%. You look at any union and you look at some of the stupid ass rules, you're like, what?
You know somebody did it. You know somebody did it.
One person who needed
it. You know somebody did it.
So, before we go to break, I just wanted to mention very quickly something new on Amazon Prime. If you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing and take the time to do so. Everyone's talking about Jamie Celebrates Drag and Queer Realness. It is a new, I believe it's a movie, not a series so much, but basically it's based on the award-winning English musical of the same name, to which turns, which in turn was based on the 2011 television documentary Jamie Drag Queen at 16. It is on Amazon, part of the Amazon Prime Video series. Watch it. It really will change your life. It really just shines a light on what it's like to be involved in the world of drag and all the amazing queerness that comes with that. So take a moment to watch that so that, you know, we can discuss it. I'm going to watch it this weekend. Do you want to watch it too?
Not with you, no.
Oh, fuck her. What about you?
I want to watch it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
Maybe not Saturday morning, but yeah. Why not? You know what?
We'll cook. Being a jerk.
We'll cook and send you pictures.
Who are you kidding? She's always here anyway.
I know.
Yeah, she'll watch it. We're going to watch the film because I've been seeing a lot of people raving about it on social media. And I'm like, okay, we really need to watch this, right? We're constantly, you know, surrounded by the world of drag and really don't understand the nuances and things that happen in the background. We only get to see what the stage performance, right?
Yes.
And so it'll be interesting to see what it shapes up to be. But I'm hearing good things about it, which means that you need to go watch it. We're going to do the same, and then we'll talk about it next week. All right. So listen, we are going to go to break. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And we're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have more Dish.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife, but they're coming. Well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming. Truth be told. Just the same. They got a knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming. Well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming. No surprise. With so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. Where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands, where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same.
All right, welcome back from the break. That was, of course, the incredible Amanda Barrick with Wastelands. That song and the album is available on all the major music streaming services, so make sure that you go and support those LGBTQ plus artists out there trying to make that coin and selling you some amazing art. So welcome back. That was I felt like that was a quick break, but, you know, we're here. Nonetheless, Elsie will join us in 2 seconds. She had to do something really quick. And so while she's joining us, I'm going to toss it over to Nick. Nick, you have a story that you want to talk about, some students' issues. Let's just jump right into that.
Yeah. So this is actually an intense and kind of sad story.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a student who in Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia.
Wait, is this Georgia the state or Georgia the country in
the
Europe?
The state here, okay. In America.
In the U.S. Oh.
And the student was wearing a pride flag. So this came out on the 7th of September. It's now the 20th. So it's a little behind, but I thought it was a pertinent story.
Right.
And a student, they were wearing a pride flag for Pride Month.
Right.
And one of the students ripped the pride flag off the person, dragged the person,
oh my God,
on the floor in the cafeteria to get it off, and then threw it in the trash.
And this is in Georgia.
This is in Georgia. So, and then there was a person that attempted to stop it, but this one individual who did rip the flag off and throw it out has been charged with disorderly conduct, simple battery, and disruption of a public facility. So it seems as though the county, as well as the school, are taking it very seriously.
Simple battery, though? This should be a hate crime.
As opposed to assault and a hate crime, right?
This should be a hate crime. It's shit like this that led to the death of people like Matthew Shepard.
Right.
Hate like this. But anyway, continue.
No, you're right. You're right. I can't even imagine what that, you know, individual, after going through that experience, like the emotional damage that has caused that student, being so openly like
hateful
and attacked. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that this stuff is still happening in 2021. And mind you, this student did this act based on a $5 dare.
So you potentially put yourself at risk of being charged with a hate crime, which I completely think it should be. I don't care if you're a high schooler.
No, that is a hate crime.
Behavior like this should not be tolerated. And this is why they need to be, the book needs to be thrown at people like this.
Yes.
And, you know, so,
and everybody else involved that encouraged this behavior.
The kid needs to be expelled. 100%. Yes,
he does.
Right. I mean, if you can't function as a human being with compassion, love, and you know, with care for others, you don't belong in a public school system. You should be home schooling. Your parents need to really, like, figure out what the hell they're going to do with you. But
because clearly they've raised a freaking monster.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and in all fairness to some parents out there where you don't see it coming. Right.
Sometimes
your kids start doing things and you're like, where the fuck did that come from? I mean, there are parents that legitimately don't know that their kids exhibit this behavior. But now that you do, what are you going to do about it? Right. As a parent, how are you going to address this?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad my nephew grew up in such a safe environment because, you know, a bitch will go to jail.
Seriously.
I'm just saying, like, a bitch. My nephew is now, he's turning 29. Oh, my baby.
He's not a baby anymore. Oh, por favor.
Don't get me started por with favor. That old ass boyfriend of his.
So the video was actually posted by the brother or sibling of a student that actually goes to the high school currently.
Right.
And the post reads, I need everyone to see the scum that's here in South Georgia that just happened today. The high school I went to and my brother's currently going to here in Valosta.
Right. And the high school is called Loudness High School.
Mm-hmm.
Loudness High School in South Georgia. This is disturbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember growing up, the anxiety that I felt walking the hallways of school because I felt unsafe. I felt that at any given time, some of these youngsters would come and beat me up and jump me and do things to me. And long are those days over for me. But as we can see, clearly, they're not over for youngsters that are.
That's just terrifying that something like this still happens.
You know, and we still have, like, for example, I remember that after I left high school, they started having things like gay action leagues and like mm-hmm. all of these gay groups in schools to sort of kind of make things better. But it's not working. And what is the faculty in the school going to do about this? Right. What learning opportunity do they have? And what are they going to do to make sure, one, it doesn't happen again, and two, people understand that this is not acceptable.
And really, it is the biggest problem, the fact that you still have people in positions of power, right? Mm-hmm. Like educators, right. Like principals and school administrators, who won't press charges for a hate crime, which right. is what should be done. And so this... It's a matter of risk, right? So yeah, I'm a monster and I'm going to go around terrifying other kids because the consequences, I can deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Because nobody takes the time to look at human life and say, we need to do better about protecting this child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, what's sad is that the person who actually posted this video, his name is Jose, right? It's J.R. Camacho Bass. So I'm assuming he's Latino, right? And I'm assuming that this individual goes to a school in South Georgia in where, you know,
right.
racism he's is
He's more than one
prominent.
Minority, right?
Right. And when you think about, for example, what happened to this young lady at the hands of Brock Turner and how he ended up getting, what, like 3 months in jail? For physically... sexually assaulting a woman by a dumpster. Like, how low can you be when you need to actually like force yourself on a woman by a dumpster?
But it's not. So, it's everything else that took place. The way that people talked about him, the letters. that the judge received in his defense.
Right. And I don't want to make this about Brock Turner, but the point I was trying to make is that here we are, you know, had this incident happened to someone who was black or brown, I don't know who this person is. I don't know whether they're white, black, brown. I just don't know. But I can guarantee you that the charges that he's receiving align themselves with someone who's getting a slap on the wrist. And probably, I would bet something on it, that this is probably a white student.
Mm-hmm. I
haven't seen the video. I mean, I'm anxious to click play and watch it, mm-hmm. but honestly.
I personally think that, you know, two things. One, it's really sad because beyond the physical act of what he did, throwing out the flag, right. So publicly ripping it off somebody, that in itself is a statement of you're not welcome here.
Right.
And our community is always faced the fact that we're not welcome in our own homes. Sometimes we're not welcome in a lot of public spaces.
Right.
And in a space like this, like it really sends a statement. And the staff says, you know, they work really tireless and hard to create a safe environment. If you were actually doing your job and creating that safe environment, why did this individual think he could get away with this?
Right, because that's essentially what it comes down to. What in this environment allows a student to feel like it's okay to do this to another child?
100%.
Like, your life to me is not worth anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assault you, drag you across the cafeteria. And I know that the consequences are not going to be so severe that I couldn't live with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with the risks.
Yeah. Well, and the only other side to the story, and I hate to play this card and the devil's advocate card, but kids are stupid.
Kids are super and now, stupid.
And now this kid who did this stupid thing and hurt this individual, yeah, maybe he grew up in a bigoted home, or maybe he grew up with the thought that he's better than, or he, you know...
Maybe he's just an asshole.
Maybe he's just an asshole. But at the end of the day, maybe he was just not. He was a kid and he did something stupid, and now he has caused so much damage, and he needs to be held accountable. But 100%. He screwed his life up. He's right. Well, not necessarily because he's a juvenile, so it'll right. be wiped away. But like, he put himself in a shitty position.
Right.
He did. But
for hate.
But. You
for
know, you're
in a day
you're,
or in 5 bucks, mm-hmm.
you're,
which
and
won't
you're
even get him a fucking cheeseburger at McDonald's these days.
Seriously. Or pay his legal fees.
So seriously, yes, he's a dumb kid. Kids do dumb things all the time, not just against, you know, an LGBTQ member, but kids are dumb, right? We know that these things happen all the time. Atrocious things to other kids, bullying, right?
Yeah.
And they do have severe repercussions for the person on the receiving end. But then... what needs to happen is consistently the consequences have to make it so that this behavior is blunted.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
and he doesn't grow up to be an adult asshole.
100%.
Who can potentially acquire, you know, more physical force, some kind of position of authority that will put him in a position to be even more abusive mm-hmm. to a
or
greater.
Or encourage that behavior in others.
But this conversation actually goes back to what we were talking about earlier, because... what this school should do, and it's sad that it takes a catalyst like this, but the school should invest in tolerance training and just general education for people that don't understand the LGBTQ plus community, and also build spaces that are safe for individuals in the LGBTQ plus community that they can go to when they're in school, and they have a group that they can talk to when they experience something like this, or when they just need an outlet. Like, this school has a responsibility to be a beacon of change in South Georgia.
Right.
They have a responsibility to really start instituting some tolerance training and just education for kids that are coming out of homes that are bigoted or uneducated or, you know, very religious, whatever it is that right. these kids are bringing to them with school and then attacking others, they have a responsibility to re-educate these kids so that they are doing the right thing when they are interacting with their classmates.
Right. It's, you know, but you know what concerns me about tolerance training?
I hate that word, by the way.
I really do hate it, because what it says to me when you say, oh, we need to teach the school, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general, when I hear the word tolerance training, what it says to me is that we're going to recondition students to tolerate others, but still continue to harbor hate and harbor those hateful feelings that,
like,
you have.
Like, it's okay to hate as long as you don't act it out.
Right.
And tolerate that's, it. And that's, that doesn't do much for education. Mm-hmm. And even with the staff, to Nick's point, I'm not sure that there are enough efforts being made to have kids really have a safe space to come to an adult, an administrator in school or a teacher, and not feel rejected, and not have that one teacher kind of shrug and be like, have you tried not being gay?
Yeah, you know, no, what I mean? Know.
Because unfortunately, I hear people having these conversations all the time, and I just look at them like appalled, like, this is really how you speak? You've read a book. And this is really how you view another human being?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think tolerance training is probably not the right word I was looking for, but more because you can't.
But no,
it's just, but that's like, the accepted right word though. For, yeah.
That is it. There are people out there pushing this to schools and to organizations.
But that's because it's not like, it's like, for example, I hate to use this example, but conversion therapy. You can't force somebody to change, right? But what you can do is give them the tools and give them the information and education. And I think that's why the word tolerance is, you know, used so often, because we can't change somebody's point of view. We can't really force somebody to think a certain way, but what we can do is provide a different perspective and give the person tools to move forward in life with education, understanding why their actions can affect somebody else, mm-hmm. and how an individual's life is very different in every single case. Mm-hmm. And within the LGBTQ plus community, especially the youth, you have no idea if they are in a safe space or not. Mm-hmm. As a heterosexual cis male, you literally have all the privilege, and you've grown up, potentially grown up in a safe space, maybe not. But the reality is, more cases than not, as a cis hetero male, you have a better chance of a better life or a better, you know, childhood than a lot of the LGBTQ plus community. And a lot of people 100%. Don't get it and understand what it means to grow up LGBTQ plus. And they think that one incident doesn't affect somebody.
No, that's why I think that, like you said, this child needs to get expelled. There needs to be concrete consequences to prohibit people from thinking that this type of behavior, mm-hmm. and what they have done in this case is okay. And it's worth mentioning that, you know, this wasn't the person grabbed a flag. He didn't like walk up to someone and punch someone, but nonetheless, he physically had to rip that flag away from someone. So it's not a case in where he beat the student senseless. I just watched the video in silence, actually, while we were having this conversation. He grabbed the flag and yanked it. But in the process, the person who had the flag held onto it and was...
He tried to make a stand, right?
Right.
And again, to Nick's point, absolutely. Maybe in his head, it wasn't, you know, a hate crime, right? But unfortunately, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
I don't even think they probably understand what that means.
They might not. You know, this is probably just a dumb kid. But we also, do we take that chance?
No.
You know what I mean? Do we take that chance and just look at it as, this is just a dumb kid being a kid, a dumb kid. When you bully any child, any person in any environment, you essentially kind of sort of make it okay for others who might harbor the same sentiments against this person, mm-hmm. to think it's okay to engage in abusive behavior towards this person as well. The fact that the child is also an LGBTQ child makes it even worse, because yep. society as a whole already
condemns
his existence,
yep. right
upon this earth, right? And yep. so now
I mean, his right to exist is already being questioned at the highest echelons of our government
by educators, by other kids, by those kids' parents, by yeah.
You
know,
when you think about by all society. The laws that are being passed in different states against, you know, LGBTQ plus youth and people in general, you know, there is no mistaking the fact that this is just no. Mm-hmm. This should not happen.
And there's one more point I want to make before we move on to something a little bit more light.
Right.
I'm going to make one more point and then okay. we'll move on.
Okay.
So two more points.
So like I said last week, this story struck a chord with me because I watched a movie called Joe Bell. And I talked about it last week where this family didn't quite know how. They loved their child, but they didn't know quite how to support their child. You know, the child came out, the child was gay. They were in an area probably similar to this, right? You know, a rural southern type of environment. And the individual was experiencing bullying in school. And then when he came out to his family, they didn't have the tools to support him the way that they probably would have, because they did love their child, right? Which led to this individual committing suicide, and then the story goes on, and it's a really intense story. But acts like this in schools, it's like you're just adding icing to the cake of what could already be a situation where somebody's struggling.
Right.
And this is why we see such a high rate of suicide in the LGBTQ plus community, not because of just their family life or where they're coming from, but on top of that, what they're dealing with in their public life, in their public persona, in the schools, in where they are supposed to feel safe.
Yeah. Not only in public spaces and physical spaces, but also in virtual spaces as well.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That's another component that really sometimes we forget to add on top of.
That's because we're old.
Yeah, it's a real thing. You know, the pressures of social media and social spaces and the abuse that people are subjected to as a result of, you know, trigger happy or key happy, you know, anonymous people attacking people online is real. Mm-hmm. And that can also have serious consequences.
Yeah.
And we see it. We see it all the time. And, you know, people will say things like, well, you know, just turn off your computer. You can say that to a kid. This is their world. They exist.
Yeah.
You know, most of their day online. And so what now? They have to exclude themselves from group activities that are virtual because the one asshole is going to make them feel like shit and then encourage other kids to also be assholes. Right. I mean, it's really not that simple. And the point that I wanted to make is, you know, if we go back to considering, you know, maybe this was just a dumb kid. Let's have a conversation with the kids involved.
Yeah.
Let's turn this into an actual teachable moment for both the, you know, both the staff, the other kids, and the school as a whole, right? Tell us your motivation. Tell us what happened there. Let's have this conversation. Let's try and reshape your mind and the behavior that caused you to engage in such abusive mm-hmm. behavior against another human being. You know what I mean? Let's not just, oh, well, we're going to expel him and send him off to the world. And now he's going to be a resentful asshole who blames that kid for the consequences because of his behavior. Mm-hmm. Right. But I know I tend to be too idealistic and people are like, you know, that's just not how the world works, but right. why not try?
No, you're right. That's created, what I'm saying.
Right. Like he has created an opportunity for everybody involved to grow from this and learn, ask the kids some questions, ask the other kids, why that kid, right? Let's find out what is it about the school culture that led this group to behave this way and why, mm-hmm. and have the conversation from there so that hopefully it doesn't just end up being another asshole who has hurt a child that's going to now have potentially severe, you know, fears that now you're going to show up to school and I'm like, oh my God, is my shirt too pink?
Right.
You know yeah. what
the
I mean?
The PTSD oh is real.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, what makes it even worse is that he took a bet, a $5 bet. I need to understand where these other kids are and what ramifications.
That's what I mean, right?
And what are they going to do to those kids, right? Clearly, right. there was a group of people that were thinking about how are they going to affect this individual that's sitting in front of us mm-hmm. with that pride flag.
Right. And again, it should not be just, you know, the kid gets expelled. It should be bigger. And all those kids should be involved in those conversations as to what was the trend here of thought that led you to this. Other than maybe you are just an asshole kid. And if you're an asshole kid, well, that's an easier conversation potentially. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. But it shouldn't just be brushed off as, you know, we'll take the necessary blah and the kid will be suspended and come back to school and continue to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's that. You know, either way, I hope. And unfortunately, usually there's no way that we can follow up to stuff like this unless they're updating the story. I can't call the South Georgia, like, you know, school district and be like, by the way, what is the outcome of so and so? Because, you know, they're right. not going to give you any information. But it's heartbreaking. But I'm glad that we talked about it. And I hope that the individual who was affected in this comes out of this stronger. Because, as you know, you can try to beat us down, but, you know, we find ways, most of us find ways to overcome and come out of the other end of that a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
All right. So we've got three more things we want to mention before we wrap up the show and call it quits for the day. I want to congratulate one of our biggest Glamazon icons, RuPaul. RuPaul. Charles, who in this particular Primetime Emmys, I believe the Emmys were yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. He's managed to score more Emmys for his groundbreaking RuPaul's Drag Race show that is now on its season 12, I believe. And in winning two more Primetime Emmys, he has become the person with the most Primetime Emmys as a person of color, which is amazing and great on its own. And then I wanted to talk about something that was a little giggle for me, which I thought was really cute. Not only is he now, you know, a person that has all these amazing Primetime Emmys for his groundbreaking show, he also has an insect named after them, which I thought it was amazing. So RuPaul now has a species of insect named after him, thanks to a gay scientist in Australia.
Freaking awesome.
It's incredible. And I have to show you the picture because you'll laugh. So the most visible drag queen in the globe, RuPaul, now has a species of insects named after him. The announcement was made this week by the Australian entomologist. Oh my God, I said the word right.
Wow.
Oh, words are hard for me. So I'm proud. The category, so he basically tweeted and said, the category is Species Extravaganza. The doctor's name is Brian Lassard of Australia's Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization. He tweeted, introducing the RuPaul Soldier Fly, serving charisma, uniqueness, and one of 150 new species named by the CSIRO. In the last year, the Latin name for the soldier fly, which is named after RuPaul, which was recorded over 100 years ago, is now called Opaluma RuPaul. It is one of 2,700 species of soldier flies. Lassard has previously named a fly after Beyonce. So I thought that was cute.
Okay, but that's why adorable. Was the fly named after RuPaul? Right.
So so this is, oh God, let me, I have to show you the picture, but I'm going to beam myself the story so I can show you on my phone because I don't want to turn my laptop and screw something up.
You can just go into your notes on your phone.
Oh, true. You can, but I got this.
He just likes making sense, that one. But you use your laptop.
I thought it was cute. So I'll post the picture on tonight's post so that everyone, the listeners can actually see it. But there it is. Come on. Oh God. Such a mess. There it is.
Stop it. I love this so much. This, you know, you need to pose that.
Chromatic color galore. Like he wasn't kidding when he said uniqueness, charisma, and like freaking fabulous.
Oh my God. Look at his. I love me some RuPaul.
Hello. So some good news from the queer spaces of the RuPaul drag world. I thought it was
so amazing. I'm going to tell the listeners why the fly was named after RuPaul because we just talked about it internally. So RuPaul, obviously, showed up in this extravagant, beautiful dress that actually, when you look at the dress and the fly, are almost similar. They're
right.
They literally identical. Look alike.
So it's amazing.
And it's the fly. For a fly, it's actually kind of pretty.
So, right, like if this, if this fly landed on my dinner plate, I would consider it, I would literally reconsider like swapping it.
Oh my God, a gay fly.
I can't. but it's cute, and I just think it's gorgeous. So,
that is right, gorgeous.
The dress and the fly look pretty much like, from a color scheme perspective, they look incredible.
That he can drag. I just love watching him. Mm. Do you guys see that series on Netflix, RJ and I forget.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh my
no.
God. It's like RuPaul in all.
Oh wait, I did
their
see that.
Splendor.
Yes, yeah.
I remember it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It was.
Yeah. I might have been the one to introduce you guys to it because it was freaking awesome and I couldn't stop talking about it.
I think you were.
And it was like watching the transformation before he got ready for every show to just his entire person. Oh,
first of all, that waist cinched to
I
death.
Cannot with I can't
no
and the hair
and no, the hair.
His hair
I as hate the Spanx. I don't know how they do it. Like
I don't think he needs to wear. Have you seen RuPaul?
No, but like
out of drag,
tucking, cinching, all that crap. I put on Spanx and I'm like, get this shit off me.
I don't have much of a waist.
We like talked that we were going to buy you
hips.
This
is RuPaul out of drag.
Yes. And without the boobs, that's what I look like.
the apple pencil. No, but RuPaul, I think, actually has to pad in order to get shape. But that shape is incredible.
He does. He's super slender. Yeah. Yep. I have always compared myself to him because, you know, I'm full of myself that way because who am I kidding? Look at him. You know, I'll be vulnerable now, right? So I don't have the typical Latina body that's attractive to other Latino men.
Honey,
right?
Your personality makes up for it.
Oh, I was told that it was the best compliment I got. Like, you really want a banging body when you have this personality and that face. And like, I was like, oh
seriously?
My God, I fucking thank you. I'll take it.
Your personality is curvaceous.
Oh my God, Tommy, stop it. Now I want to wear, you know, some Spanx and like a low cut shirt for my personality. I want to wear my personality naked.
So do I, honey. Actually, rub no, it. I don't. That's nasty.
Rub it. Rub your personality.
But I've always said that there are two types of men that find my body shape attractive, and that's white men who find my muscular legs attractive, right?
Wow.
And drag queens, because they're like, I'm like, oh, it's because you're into RuPaul, right? I know. Thank you.
Well, no.
Thank you. I'll take it.
They look at it from a very optimistic perspective, because for them, what you see as a downfall, they see, or what you see as a flaw, they see as opportunity, right?
Yeah. It's like all the padding you can build, except for the waisting. That's hard. And I don't see myself cinching. Like I've tried.
You can build, but you can't take away, right? So if you are naturally, like, excessively curvaceous, you have to cinch to death, and you have to sort of kind of, like, this figure out true. A way to, like, constrict.
Yeah, so that's exactly my point. I'm like, two types of men. You'll never have a Caribbean man look at me and be like, yeah, look at her.
Oh, my God.
Which I actually kind of like, because I never get gross compliments. You
okay,
know, like, the compliments that I get.
You're
going
to end up
marrying
a Caribbean man now that you said that.
Probably.
I'm not. My mother has forbidden it.
Oh,
no, Lord
okay.
have mercy.
She's like, no.
No, but at least you know that you can build.
Yes.
So,
yes, my mother has tried very hard to get me padded things. And I'm like, it's too hot. I don't care. Like,
that's how I feel.
I'm so over it. Like, well, I am over it. I have boobs and a face. I'll be fine.
I'll make it work.
And a personality.
Well, now you know how drag queens feel, and more the reason why you should watch Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which is on Amazon Prime, to get a better perspective of what it's like to be a drag queen. And you know,
yes,
so,
I love that.
I can't wait.
It used to be my favorite bar to go to when I lived in Indiana.
Which one?
It was called Someplace Else. Get it?
Ah.
Let's go someplace else. And it was a gay bar, which I thought was super clever. But they, like, the entire staff, everyone involved, most of the patrons were drag queens. And it, walking in there, it was just like beauty everywhere. And I would walk in there and just be mesmerized. Like, I need pictures. And, you know, camera phones weren't like a thing then.
Right.
This was, and like, if forever
they were,
ago.
They were like 2 megapixels.
You can't really, none of those pictures are worth really showing. But it was, it was just a bunch of beautiful drag queens everywhere, and the hair and the makeup. Oh, I love it.
I know. I know. So anyway, congratulations to RuPaul, and do me a favor. Send our girl over here some padding so that she can.
I will wear it if he sends it to me.
Make her spirit and her, what do we call it?
And some hair.
And some hair. A lot of hair. You have gorgeous hair anyway.
Well, so, thank you.
Anyway. Trish. Why don't we talk about one of your favorite things to
no, let's
talk
wrap
about
it up.
On this on the show? No, you have to do this.
No,
this
I, is don't. I don't. We can wrap it up.
This is your thing.
No, let's wrap it up.
It's K-Animals.
I'm good.
Oh,
K-Animals are the best. I'm going to send you a link to this stand-up bit from Jabuki. What Jabuki is his name from The Daily Show. Uh-huh. He has like a whole bit on gay insects and why they're gay. It's so fucking funny.
Send it.
I am.
Send it. All right. Well, apparently we are wrapping it up because she's surprising. She doesn't want to talk about gay animals. But anyway, so we're going to toss it over to her. She didn't have to talk anyway because it's time for you know what?
Mama Kim's Minute. Thank you. All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, gay NFL history made by Carl Nassib becomes first out player to take the field. Number two, LGBTQ voters overwhelmingly back Gavin Newsom in in California's recall election. Number three, Jared Polis marries husband Marlon Reese in historic and sweet ceremony.
That was amazing. All right, so it's my turn, and I don't want to. I don't have one of those fancy little songs, so we're just going to jump right into it. On this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by the fabulous people sitting at this table from Gay Talk 2.0. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it was September 20th, the year was 1917, and where it was in France. The opening expo featured a painting by Romain Brooks. The American painter Romain Brooks had a 3-year affair with a Russian ballerina, Ida Rubinstein, and had painted portraits of her during that time. One had been the Weeping Venus, featuring in this day's Expo Center, Pompidou.
Mm-hmm.
That's both women had been bisexual.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got
That's wonderful. I got through it. All right. So it's time for me to keep going. Jesus, I'm gonna try. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation. Visit our website and click on the Patreon logo to support the show. Elsie?
And next week, we welcome Ed Decker from New Conservatory Theater to talk about their podcast, In Good Company.
Yas, queen. Nick?
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our beloved Elsie for joining us today. We hope you will come back again soon. We've missed you.
I am definitely going to come back soon. The drive wasn't so bad, so I'm over myself now.
Oh. Cicada, she's out and about.
She'll be out for a season. All right. And now here's a weekly reminder. Here's Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep their buttholes on point. Yes, we're talking about the Future Method. Let me give her some love.
Thank you. Okay, get the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. Visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser today.
All right, and is it that time?
It is that time.
What are we doing? Are
you crossing your fingers for me?
What are we doing? But what time is it, though? It's time to
put a rubber on it.
Yes! It's like riding a bike.
I thought she was going to say dental dam, but we'll get
we'll take it.
I know. I'm going to work my way to that. Okay. I am. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. I know. Under audio podcast, it is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab. It's located at the top of the web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and ask us whatever questions you have. We can answer those for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.